You have your Bibles, if you will, turn to Colossians chapter 1. We're still in this study of Colossians, talking about being transformational. I tell you, the music today, the songs that we sang today are the heart of what empowers us and enables us to live transformational lives and to be a force for transformation in the world, to be a means where we engage our community in such a way that our community is drawn to Christ. It's our view of God, the holiness, the glory, the beauty of God, the power of God. The bigger our view of God, the bigger our understanding of God, the greater the transformation that will take place in our lives. To know God and to live in His glory, to live in His power is the greatest thing we can do. Well, today we're in our third portion, our third session in this book of Colossians. And remember, this is Paul writing to a church that he has never been to. It was established under Epaphras, who was a disciple of Paul's, who came to Christ probably under Paul's preaching in Ephesus. And then he studied with Paul there for a couple or 3 years while Paul was in Ephesus. And then he went back home to Colossae and began to share the gospel and began to tell others, his friends, his neighbors, about Christ. And they became saved. They surrendered their heart and their life to Jesus. And the church was formed. And Epaphras had an affinity towards Paul, and Paul had an affinity towards Epaphras, and now the church that Epaphras was key in starting. And Paul wanted to see this church flourish. Paul wanted to see this church change Colossae for the cause of Christ and to reach as many people as they could for the sake of the gospel. And he wanted them to experience everything God had for them. And so he's writing to them, a good church, but writing to them to encourage them to become a transformational church, and to be transformed themselves and to continue this walk of transformation, not to get settled on where they are spiritually, not to get satisfied with the number of people they've reached and how they've done in their community, not to just sit back and just rest and wait till Jesus comes because we've done enough. He said, you're a good church. You're doing great things. God is moving, and I can see the evidence of His faith, of your faith in Him, in your lives, and the work you're doing, but don't let up. Don't get satisfied. Continue to focus on the things that matters. Well, today, as we look at what it means to be transformational, what are the things that it takes to be transformational? Last week, we focused on the fact that we've got to stay focused on Christ, that He is everything, that He is the means of our salvation. He's the means of our transformation. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the access to God. He's everything that we need is found in Christ Jesus, in Christ alone. So if we're going to be transformed ourselves and we're going to be a transformational force out in the community where we influence the community rather than the community influencing us, we've got to stay focused and grounded in Christ. The second thing we've got to do, and we're going to look in these few verses, Paul begins to share what he's been going through. Paul is, if you've ever studied much about Paul or read much about Paul, you know that Paul lived on purpose. He lived with a goal in mind. He lived with a passion and a zeal for life because he had something to accomplish. He had something he wanted to do. He knew that Christ had saved him on that Damascus Road experience and had given him the responsibility of taking the gospel to the world and especially the Gentiles. And he lived in that purpose. But if you also know about Paul's life, his life after the Damascus Road experience was pretty tumultuous. It was pretty hard. It was pretty difficult. Actually, he was writing this letter to the church at Colossae because he was in prison in Rome because he was preaching the gospel. Because he wouldn't be quiet when the Jews wanted him to be quiet. So they trumped up all kinds of charges and he wound up in prison again for the gospel. But I want you to hear the heart of Paul today as we look at these passages, what the difference and the power that living on purpose has, and the thing that living on purpose does. Because one of the questions that we all have at some point in our life, we have to come to the understanding of, why am I here? Why was I born? Now, sometimes that happens at different stages in life. You know, you're in as a teenager and life's hard and you think everybody hates you, nobody loves me, I guess I'll just go eat worms. And you wonder, why am I even born? Why am I even here? Nobody likes me, everybody hates me. Life just stinks. And you know, you kind of sometimes, most time, hopefully, prayerfully, you get past that and you maybe get to college. You're trying to figure out, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? Why am I here? What's my reason for existing? And we all come to those different points. And sometimes it's later on in life. You know, you've been working at a job that's a dead-end job, seems like, and your life, you look back over it and you think, man, I really hadn't done anything that matters a whole lot. I'm just kind of going through the motions. I'm going through life. And what's life all about? And why am I here? Sometimes that happens in our 40s or 50s. And we just wonder, am I wasting my time? Because we struggle with purpose. We struggle with meaning. You know why? Because God created us for a purpose. We're allowed to be born. God decides to let us be born because He has something for us to do. And every person that's ever born, ever been created, God has created within them a desire to accomplish, a desire to live out purpose, a desire to have meaning. And until we can find that purpose and meaning in Christ, we're going to find it in some other place. We're going to find it in relationships. And we're going to jump from relationship to relationship. And we're going to try and find meanings from people. And sometimes we try and find meaning from jobs. And we try and do everything we can to earn as much as we can and to climb that corporate ladder and to get those powers of position. And man, we just pour everything into our jobs, and we try and find our purpose in our job and our fulfillment in our job, and then we lose our job and we wonder, what now? We lose that relationship that we've been pouring into and trying to find our fulfillment and our purpose in that, and it falls apart, or they walk away, and what now? Then we start trying to find comfort. We try and find comfort in drugs or alcohol. We try and find comfort in sex or other relationships. And we become addicted and we become beat down and we become broken because we're trying to find our purpose. We have that desire to live for a purpose, that life has got to be more than what it is. And when we seek that purpose, we seek that fulfillment, we seek that meaning in anything other than our Creator, it's only temporary, and it will always lead to brokenness. It will always lead to want. It will always lead to hurt. That's why our world is in such a mess it's in now. Because people have moved away from the Creator. They've moved away from the One who created them with far purpose, trying to find purpose in everything else but Him. And when we do that, we're leading ourselves to destruction. That's why Jesus said, You need to go through the narrow gate and go the narrow way. For broad is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. But small is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to salvation. And there are few that find it. We need to be about living on purpose. And because in that purpose we find so much more that God has for us. Solomon, the wisest and the richest man that ever lived, wrote in Ecclesiastes his journey to find meaning in life apart from God. He had all the riches, he had everything that he ever needed, and he was following after God, but then he decided, hey, I want to do an experiment. If you've ever read the book of Ecclesiastes, I want to do an experiment to see if I can find meaning in life other than in God. So he says, man, I tried it all. He had the money, the time, and the ability to do whatever he wanted to, go wherever he wanted to, experience anything he wanted to. So he said, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it for a purpose. I'm going to find out if there is meaning to life apart from God. And all throughout Ecclesiastes, you hear this phrase, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. That means meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And he finally sums up his quest at the end where he says, apart from God, apart from our relationship with the Lord, to find purpose or try to find purpose in anything but our relationship with our Creator is vanity, meaningless, worthless, hopeless, pointless. So today I want us to focus again and look at the power of purpose. Why is it important that we live on purpose? What does it do for us, and what does it do in our desire to be transformed and transformational? So we're going to look at some passages here as Paul begins to write to the church about his circumstances. So if you will stand with me, we're going to begin in verse 24 of chapter 1. And we're going to read down through verse 5 of chapter 2. Now here again, this is Paul writing of his experience and what he's going through now and what he's been going through. And look at how he sees his circumstances. Verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. This mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we might present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which is mightily works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive arguments. Or even though I am absent in the body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, I'm so thankful for men like Paul, who lived with a purpose, who lived to make you known, who lived to endure whatever life threw at them, whatever Satan gave them, God, they used it for your glory. Lord, they were never dissuaded, never moved to give up. But God, they stayed faithful. And Lord, we know of people in our own lives, people that we've known, Lord, that have come through this very fellowship, that have lived on purpose, have lived unswervingly for your glory. Not perfect, but God, they lived to make you known. And Lord, I pray that you would make that the desire of our heart. That we would live on purpose and live for a purpose and embrace the reason that you created us, to have relationship with you and to demonstrate your glory to the world. Lord God, I pray today that you would help us to lay aside the things of this world, to count it all as rubbish, as dung, as Paul says, so that I might gain Christ. Lord, we can't live for many things. We can't have multiple purposes and be fulfilled. But God, in the purpose of living under your authority, in the purpose of knowing you and making you known, Lord, all that we need, all that we desire can be ours. Lord, meet with us today, transform us today, prepare us today, and then use us in the days ahead for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As a football coach, back when I coached, one of the things that you constantly had to do is remind players of why we're out here. There's nothing about practice that's fun in and of itself. There's nothing about working hard and sweating and banging heads on a football field that's in and of fun by itself. Working in a weight room throughout the year is not just fun in and of itself. If there's a goal in mind, if there's something you're trying to accomplish, it makes practice fun. It makes accomplishment fun. It makes working out purposeful and meaningful. It has a goal, something you're trying to attain. That's the whole thing about our life. If we have a purpose, it changes everything about our life. It changes our perspective on everything. Because everything that we do then falls under the purpose that we're living for. As an athlete, one of the things we kept reminding them, look, it's not just what you do in the practice field. It's not just what you do in the weight room. It's what you do on the weekends that determines how successful you're going to be. You can't smoke and drink and then be the best athlete you can be. You can't stay up late at night running around getting in trouble with the law and doing all kinds of things and still be able to accomplish the goal that we've set forth, winning a state championship, winning a district championship, whatever that is. Everything about your life plays into and has a part in your purpose. That's true about God too. If we want to know God and to make Him known, if that is our purpose, then everything about our lives falls under that umbrella and is governed by that purpose. That's why it's so important. Life's difficult. Life's hard. Life throws curves. There's a lot of things that give us problems. But when we're living on purpose, it changes our perspective completely. Look at the first thing that Paul says. The power of purpose. The first one, purpose brings joy to our journey. If we all understand we're going somewhere, we're trying to accomplish a certain goal, it's something that's out there, it's not just right here. We're on a journey to accomplishment. We're on a journey to eternity as a Christian. And when we're living on purpose, it brings joy to the journey. In Sunday school this morning, we were talking about the Beatitudes, and over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and we're discussing this idea of blessed and happiness and fulfillment, what Jesus was talking about in this sermon. Well, that's what we're talking about here. When we're living for purpose, our purpose brings joy to our journey. If I know I'm moving forward in my purpose, if I know I'm accomplishing what I'm living for, then the problems get less and less obvious. They have less and less power. So it brings joy to the journey. Look, remember, Paul is writing this from prison. And this is not his first stint in prison because of the gospel. But look what he says. Verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings. Now I don't know about you, but that's not a phrase that comes out of my mouth very often. I rejoice in my sufferings. Now, I don't think Paul was happy that he was in prison. I don't think Paul was happy that he's been beaten and stoned and left for dead several times. I don't think he was happy when everybody hated him and was trying to run him out of town. I don't think Paul was happy about that. But in his sufferings, he had joy. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. How could he rejoice in his suffering? How could he have joy on this journey that seems so difficult? Because he understood his purpose is not comfort. His purpose is not pleasure. His purpose is not living a painless life. His purpose is reaching as many people as he can with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So whatever he had to endure was worth it. Think about yourselves. If you're going to a job just to get a paycheck, what makes you go to that job every day? Now, I'm just going to tell you, when I was coaching, I coached because I loved coaching. I loved being with kids. I loved teaching the game of football. If it wasn't for my love of football, I'd have never taught a class. I endured teaching and tried to do the best job I could as a teacher because my purpose was to mold young men and to help them to become men who were the best they could be, who were godly young men, who were the best athletes they could be. Sometimes we go to jobs we don't like because we got to provide for our family. Our purpose is to provide for our family. So I endure a job I don't like and can even be happy at it. Have you ever noticed guys that are at work, they're always happy? I mean, they love to come to work. I mean, it may be a lousy day. Things may be going wrong. But man, they still got joy about being at work. It's because their purpose is not their job. Their job is a mean to an end. So they can find joy in the journey. You know why we get so frustrated when things aren't going well in our lives personally? That's because we've lost sight of our purpose. Our purpose has become, okay, comfortable lives, easy lives, no sickness, no troubles, no hardship, everything going good. Our life, our purpose has become comfort. And when things aren't going well, then we lose our joy. When sickness comes, all we do is complain. When hardship comes, all we do is gripe. When difficulty comes, all we do is just throw up our hands and seem as hopeless as the world is. Because we've lost focus of our purpose. When we're living on purpose, we can find joy in the journey, no matter what's going on. Paul understood that he was on a journey to go where he wanted to be. He wanted to be everything God wanted for him to be. He wanted to accomplish everything God had for him to accomplish. He understood that what he was doing was only temporary. What he was enduring is only temporary. This life, as the song says, is passing away. Paul says this life is but a vapor. And there's an old hymn that says, we're just passing through. This is not my home. See, when we understand our purpose is an eternal purpose, to know God and to make Him known. When we know that and know that this is not what this life, this experience is not what life is all about, that our purpose is greater than this, then we can endure the things that life throws at us because it's just temporary. Paul understood that to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ, that these temporary trials, these temporary struggles will pass away. But God and my relationship with Him is eternal. His purpose was to get as many as he could to know the truth about Jesus and experience his salvation. When his journey to achieve his purpose meant being in prison, he counted it all joy. If it meant that I've got to go to prison to accomplish what God wants me to accomplish, I'll gladly go to prison, was Paul's attitude. Now, what did he do while he was in prison? Did he gripe and complain? Did he write letters to everybody and, hey, y'all be praying for me to get out of here. Y'all be praying to make this easier. Y'all be praying that things will change. No, he wrote a letter saying, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. The truth is that he couldn't go out. He was in house arrest. He couldn't go outside his home to share the gospel with anybody. But there was a guard chained to him 24/7. And they took about, I think it was either 3 or 6 hour shifts. So for 3 or 6 hours a day, he had him a captive audience. Rather than him being chained to a guard, the guard was chained to him, and he's going to hear the gospel the whole time. He's going to hear about Jesus. Because he could do that because his purpose wasn't comfort. His purpose wasn't an easy life. His purpose wasn't just to make it until Jesus comes back. His purpose was to let everyone he could know the truth about Jesus and experience the salvation and the forgiveness of their sins. His purpose was bigger than his circumstances. So no matter what his circumstances were, he found joy. in the journey? Are you experiencing joy in your journey? I'm not talking about, is everything going your way? I'm not talking about, is life easy for you? I'm not talking about, is your life full of just harps and honeysuckles? Are you experiencing joy in your journey? If you're not experiencing joy in your journey, you need to think about why you're on this journey. What's your purpose? Where are you headed? What are you trying to accomplish? What do you want to do? Paul understood that his journey was temporary. His purpose was bigger than himself or his circumstances. And when our purpose is bigger than ourselves and our circumstances have less impact on our perspective. Let me say that again. When our purpose is bigger than ourselves, our circumstances have less impact on our perspective. See, the problem is when life throws us a curve, we bail out of the batter's box because we've lost our perspective. We've lost our purpose. We think we're just supposed to endure life till Jesus comes back. We're just supposed to make it till Jesus comes back. Some of us have even bought into this health and wealth gospel that God just wants you to be happy, healthy, and wealthy. That's not what He saved you for. He saved us so that as we walk through life, as we walk on this journey, we can know Him in the difficulties of life. We can know that He's faithful in the hardships that we face. We can know that He is our ultimate healer, that to be separated from the body is to be present with Him. To know that we need to share Him with as many people as we can in contact where we are. So no matter our circumstances, whether it's at the hospital setting waiting on chemo to take our chemo treatment, whether it's at the hospital visiting a loved one that's helping, or if it's in the middle of a relationship that's going bad, all that we're supposed to do is make Jesus known. To know Him in the middle of our circumstances. So when we see that, then every opportunity or every circumstance, every difficulty becomes an opportunity, like we said a few weeks ago. Instead of saying, God, make it better, we begin to pray, God, make it count. God, don't let this circumstance, don't let this chemo treatment go to waste. Don't let this opportunity to share the hope that I have with another person in here that's going through the same struggle I am, but going through it without You. God, don't let this opportunity go to waste. Make it count. When we live on purpose, it brings joy to our journey. It gives less weight to our circumstances. When our purpose is all about me, my comfort, my happiness, my pleasure, my wealth, our present circumstances become our perspective. We look at how things are going to determine how things are going. We judge how well we're achieving by how well our journey's going today. Because our purpose is now just about me. We're going to find purpose somehow. We're either going to find it in God or we're going to find it in the things of this world. We're going to find it in comfort, pleasure, whatever. We're created for purpose. So we need to make sure we keep our purpose settled on Christ. The second reason it's important to stay and live on purpose is purpose enables endurance. Purpose enables endurance. If I know I'm striving for a goal, if I'm trying to achieve something, then I'm willing to pay the price for achievement. You've heard that old phrase, nothing in life is free. It's true for our spiritual life. If we're going to accomplish our purpose, then we're going to have to be willing to pay the price, willing to pay the cost. If my purpose in life is not settled in Christ, but it's in my comfort, then I've got to do whatever it takes to be comfortable. I've got to spend whatever it takes to make me comfortable. even if that means maxing out credit cards. If my purpose in life is pleasure, then I'm willing to shell out all kind of money for hunting camps, all kind of money for guns and all the paraphernalia that you need to hunt with that makes that pound of deer meat cost about $1,500 a pound instead of the $5 a pound you'd pay for steak. Why? Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Because we find fulfillment. That's where we've decided. I'm happiest when I'm in the woods. It's exciting to kill a deer. Yeah, it is. And where our purpose is, that's where our money goes. Now I'm going to meddle a little bit. Compare how much you spend on your hobbies and your happiness to how much you spend for the kingdom. I know I'm meddling. It's my job. We just sent out the giving reports. It sends back to you how much you gave to the church so you can claim it on your income taxes as charitable giving. Take your checkbook. Take that form we sent you and compare how much you gave to your pleasure as to what you gave to the kingdom. See, our purpose determines what we're willing to sacrifice for. It gives us endurance when things get tough. Look at what Paul said. It says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction." Now we've got to settle there for just a second. What is he talking about? I thought Jesus paid it all on the cross. I thought Jesus, by his stripes, I'm healed. I thought he did everything on the cross that was necessary. He did for your salvation. So what is Paul talking about? He says, "I find it joy when I suffer for your sakes, and I do my share on behalf of the church in filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction." He said, following Jesus and fulfilling my purpose for the gospel is going to cost me. That's why Jesus told the disciples, "You cannot be my disciple unless you give up all of your own possessions." He said, "Anyone who wants to come after me must first deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." See, and then he went on in another place and said, "Look, anybody's going to follow me, they first let them count the cost. Because it's costly." Paul says, because I'm living on purpose for Christ, because I understand I want to know God and I want to make him known, I'm willing to pay anything. I'm willing to sacrifice anything. I'm willing to endure anything so that I might know Christ and make him known to everyone I can. His purpose was wound up and bound up in Christ. And when our purpose is bound up in knowing God and making him known, then we're willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to do that. Jesus also said in another place, "Unless a man hates his own mother and father, his wife, his children, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." The cost of following Christ is everything. He said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take courage. I've overcome the world." He said, "This world will hate you because they hated me." Are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to give sacrificially of our time, of our talents, of our energy, of our pride, so that the world will know Him. So that we will be changed, so we can know Him more and more every day, and the world will know Him more and more through us. Are we willing to sacrifice? See, the only way Paul was able to endure the stonings, only way Paul was able to endure the imprisonment, only way Paul was willing to endure the beatings is because he was living for the purpose that God created him for. I'm here to tell you, not all of us are called to be pastors or preachers, but we're all called to be ministers of the gospel. We're all called to live radically different lives and to share the gospel with everyone we can, so that more will go to heaven and fewer will go to hell, because we are planted where we're planted as an individual and as a church. But see, when our purpose becomes about us, when our purpose becomes about our comfort, when our purpose becomes about our tradition, when our purpose becomes about what we want and what we like, then we're not willing to sacrifice so that others will know. We're not willing to give so that others can go. We're not willing to spend time on our knees in prayer, begging God for someone who is lost, pleading for salvation. We're not willing to pay the price for God's purpose to get accomplished. See, that's the thing. Everything has a price. Nothing in life is free. And that's true of your spiritual life too. It's true of our spiritual life as a church. Ministry costs. Reaching lost people costs money, and it's messy. Are we willing to give so that others can know Christ? Are we willing to get in the mess and get messy so that others can know Christ? All that's determined by what we're living for. Randa and I and Anna went last night to see this movie, 13 Hours. And it's a movie of how just a handful of men stood in the gap and fought off thousands of insurgents in Benghazi. Why did they do it? Why were they willing to do it? Why are soldiers willing to stand and fight, to carry a buddy that's injured? Why are they willing to do that? Because they have a purpose. They understand their purpose. Those men that were in Benghazi that were fighting off these terrorists, they had a purpose. They understood their reason for existence, their reason for being there was to protect the lives of all the people that were behind them. They were the only thing that stood between them and absolute certain death and probably torture. And see, when we understand that our purpose is to stand between hell and the people Jesus died for, when we understand that our purpose is to take the gospel, the only hope of salvation for those that are in this world, if we understand our purpose, then we're willing to stand in the gap and to stand against Satan, stand against whatever seems overwhelming to us, because we're here fighting for the lost. We're here fighting for eternity. When we understand our purpose, we're able to endure whatever life throws at us and whatever it costs to do. The third thing I want you to see is that purpose keeps us focused on what matters. Look at what Paul says. I rejoice in my suffering for your sake. The suffering wasn't what mattered. It was the people he was suffering for. He says, in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ Jesus. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship of God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God, that is, the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Two things Paul stayed focused on. He stayed focused on the gospel and people. Purpose keeps us focused on the things that matter. This building, it don't matter. It's not eternal. It's a place where the church meets. It's not the church. We call this the sanctuary. This is not the sanctuary. You know what the Bible describes in the New Testament as the sanctuary? You. You are the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. And when we come together, we are the body of Christ, gathered together to worship. That's the only thing that distincts this building from anything else. It doesn't matter if we didn't have this building, if we were like in Africa and just had a few poles and a thatch roof over the top of it. That's just as much holy as this. It's not about stuff. It's not about process. It's not about anything other than Christ and sharing Christ. Knowing Christ and sharing Christ. Knowing Christ and sharing Christ. It keeps us focused on what matters. Now we come up with all kinds of programs and we try and figure out ways that we can reach our community. But if we start focusing on the ways and the means and the process, and that becomes most important, we've lost our purpose. Our purpose is to know Christ, Him crucified, and to share Him with the others that we come in contact with. If we don't come together with the purpose of knowing God more as we gather together as the body of Christ, if we don't come together with the purpose of knowing Him more from each other and with each other, and then taking that out into the world and into our community, if we don't have that as our purpose, we're meeting for nothing. And we're going to be like so many other churches that it turns about picking sides over colored carpet and things that don't matter for eternity and fighting and bickering, things that are just about comfort and preference. Churches are plateaued and declining all throughout America because we've lost our purpose. We've lost focus of what we're here for. I've told you before, and I can't hammer it home enough, your salvation is not about you. Church and the things we do is not about you. It's not about me. It's about knowing God more and making Him known. That's our only reason for existence. Paul understood that, and he wanted the church to be reminded of that. Paul was living for the purpose of knowing Christ and making Him known, so everything else didn't matter. All the things he had to go through, as long as he could do those two things, everything else was worth it. The last thing I want you to see real quickly is number four, purpose keeps us energized. Purpose keeps us energized. Purpose keeps us going. We know we're on a journey headed to an accomplishment. We know we're on a journey moving through this time and these circumstances, trying to get to another place where we know God more and more people know God because we've been here. Verse 29, Paul says, For this purpose, to know Christ and to make Christ known, I labor, striving according to His power, which mightily works within me. I want to ask you, is the power of God at work in you? Is the power of God at work in you? Now, I want to give you how you can know that. Acts 1:8, Jesus talking to the disciples says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power and you'll be my witnesses. See, the power of God's not judged by how well your life is going. The power of God at work in you is not about how perfect your life is. The power of God in you is not whether you're healthy or sick. The power of God at work in you is not all about how comfortable you are, how well you think life is going. The power of God is judged by how much are you sharing the gospel. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, if you've received the Holy Spirit, two things are going to happen. You're going to receive power first. Power for what? To live transformed, to know Him, and to make Him known. You're going to be my witnesses. Are we living in the power of God? Are we living in the energy of God. Paul says, I labor striving according to His power, which mightily works within me. See, God didn't save us and give us this purpose so that we could just do it the best we could. You know why we get burned out in loving people and we get tired of teaching, or we get tired of this, or we get tired of that, we get tired of trying to do the right thing all the time? You don't know why? Because we're doing it in our own strength, not the power of the Holy Spirit. God knew that this purpose was bigger than ourselves. It was more than we could ever accomplish. That's why He sent His Holy Spirit, and His power is available to us. If you're getting tired and burned out, it's a sure sign you're not following and living in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're living under your own power, trying to do things in your own wisdom instead of doing things like God intended. It says, for this purpose I also labor, striving according to His power, which is mightily works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf. And for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself. When God's power is at work in our lives and we're living our purpose according to His power, we will be making Him known and His Christ known to as many people as we can, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive arguments. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Paul's energized for the journey because he's following the purpose that God has given him. He's living in the power of God that's at work within him, but he also sees the fruit of his labor. And there's nothing more encouraging than seeing people that get it. As a pastor, as someone who just is sharing the gospel, you may share the gospel 10 times, nothing. But then you run across one person that's hungry to know Christ, and you share the gospel. They surrender their heart and their life to Him, and you see the transformation in their life. They get it, man. They're on fire for Jesus. You know, that energizes you. Man, that makes all the 10 times you shared before and it didn't do any good, it makes it worth it, because you found this one who wanted to know Christ and you led them to the Savior. As a pastor, man, I want to serve in the power of God, but man, it's exciting when I see people getting it. When I see people falling more and more in love with Jesus and start sharing the gospel and start sacrificing so other people know it. It's exciting when you see people that are getting it. Man, there's nothing more discouraging than just preaching your heart out and trying to lead people to get outside the walls and to share the gospel and to love on people, to live sacrificially, to live on purpose. And you see people just don't get it. They're just content to come and sit, gripe about everything, whine about everything. It's all about me and what I like. Yeah, these people dying out there going to hell, but it's your job to go tell them. There's nothing more discouraging. Man, I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be a part of a church that gets it. That the majority of the folks, man, just, they want to know God more. They want more people to know God. But if we don't stay focused, if we don't live in purpose, then we're going to fall away. We're going to be like so many other churches, in decline, or either dead and just don't know it yet. See, I want to see us experience everything God has for us. I want to see us accomplish everything God has for us to accomplish. I want to see lives being transformed inside this church, and I want to see us being a force of transformation out in the community. But it only happens when we live on purpose. My question is, are you living on purpose? Are you just kind of floundering through life? Man, your circumstances and everything just seems to overwhelm you. Are you living to know God more and to make Him known? that's not going to happen unless first you surrender your heart and your life to Him. You can't know God unless you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. Accept His gift of salvation and surrender your life to Him, to live for Him and not for yourself. When you start there, then you can live for God's purpose. But you got to be careful. Christian, you know you're saved, you know the Holy Spirit's within you, but you know you're not living in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not living in the power of God. He's not working mightily in your life. Why is that? Are you living for His purpose or are you living for yourself? Are you living to make Him known? Or are you just biding time till He comes back and you get to go to heaven? You don't have to worry about all these troubles anymore. Are you just enduring, making it through? Is there joy in your journey? Can you rejoice no matter what your circumstances are? Because you know the power of Christ is in you. He'll never leave you and forsake you. And He'll make your worst day count for His kingdom if you'll live for His purpose. So let's pray from now on. Let's continue to pray if you've started already. Let's don't pray, God, make it better. God, make it count. Make it count for your kingdom. Let's live on purpose. Willing to sacrifice, willing to endure, looking forward to seeing God's purpose accomplished in and through us. Let's stand. Lord God, we thank You so much for sending Your Son Jesus for the purpose of dying so that we might live. For the purpose of purchasing our forgiveness so that we might be forgiven. For the purpose of receiving our wrath from You so that we might live in freedom. God, we thank You for what You've done for us, for who You are. And God, I pray today as we come to this time of commitment, we would commit ourselves to live for Your purpose. We would surrender whatever we've been holding back. We would let go of our comfort. We would let go of whatever is holding us back from being all in for You and living for Your purpose, experiencing the glory that You want to share as we accomplish what You have for us. Lord God, if there's someone here that doesn't know You today as Lord and Savior, I pray that You'd break their heart today. God, they would surrender their life to You so that their life would count for eternity. God, for those of us who have been saved, we know we're saved, but we also know that we've kind of lost track of our purpose. We're not willing to sacrifice for the kingdom. We'll sacrifice for anything else, but not for the kingdom. God, I pray that You'd break our hearts. And God, we would get back under Your authority and live for Your purpose. Enjoying this life, having hobbies and having fun things, but God, everything we do be for Your purpose. To tell people about Your Christ. Lord, we love You. We praise You. Have Your way in our hearts today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. You do business with the Lord. Thank you.